Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, now I know you weren't military. You were federal law enforcement, but of course you served with a lot of military overseas, and you did some ranger training down in Fort Benning, Georgia. I had a drill sergeant in Fort Benning, Georgia, infantry training 20-plus years ago, and he'd always say this, "Too easy, Private.
Too easy.
It's too easy."
Oh, yeah.
You heard that a few times, too, huh?
A few hundred times, yeah.
Was it easy when they told you it was too easy?
No, it never was.
Never was. Never was. Well, I thought we'd get off to a too easy start here this morning because, you know, we've got a bunch of topics covered. We've done a bunch of show prep. We got things racked and stacked to talk about here on our statewide show this morning. But it's just too easy. It's too easy to start with this.
Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett is laughing off claims that she is a diva boss who terrorizes staffers.
Are you a no-show boss from hell who terrorizes staffers?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I know that I have arrived, honey. That is the way that I see this. Because as Beyonce says, if they're not talking about you, then obviously you must not be doing anything.
Oh, man. Anyway, John, yeah, it's too easy to focus on Jazzy Crockett. That's why we want her to stay in Congress. It's just too easy to focus on her.
You don't know me, Aaron. Let me tell you something. You don't know me. Now, you see this. The stereotype is true every time. Think about all these people you've seen out, these Democrats who are in public, nasty, rude, vulgar people. I mean, yeah, Sheila Jackson Lee was one I could think of. Amy Klobuchar. Every single time, that personality translates right into how they treat their staff. Kamala Harris was notorious for this. What did she have, like a 92% turnover when she was VP with her staff? It is every single time. That's how these people are. Guarantee you, everything you've heard about Jazzy there is true.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Sheila Jackson Lee. I actually got to meet Sheila Jackson Lee when I was going to Howard University. I snuck my way into a Jesse Jackson rally. And before I got thrown off the stage, I had some fun back and forth with Sheila Jackson Lee. But anyway, apparently Sheila Jackson Lee, Kevin McCarthy, the former speaker Kevin McCarthy, was on Fox News, and he was talking about this story. And he said, you know, when she first got to Congress, Jasmine Crockett was nothing like this. She talked different. She acted different. She was who she really was. But she gets rewarded with media attention and money from the National Democrats by pretending to be somebody who had this rough and tumble background growing up in the hood when she went to a rich private school. And now she puts on this whole act. But he said Sheila Jackson Lee one time, you know, she was late to get to her flight and she was banging on the door when the door to the airplane was already shut. And apparently the pilot took her purse and just threw it. And they took off without her.
Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? Open this door right now.
Oh, man. Sheila Jackson Lee. What a peach. All right. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So let's sneak in one more quick hit here before we get to your phone calls. 406-294-0970. John and I were laughing earlier because Stephen A. Smith was on Bill Maher's program on HBO, and Bill Maher was asking Stephen A. Smith why 0% of black voters would support Pete Buttigieg for the Democrat nod for president in 2028. And Stephen A. Smith had this hilarious response. But, yeah, Bill Maher, this came from Fox News earlier this morning. Apparently he was asked about the women on The View, you know, the notorious left-wing TV show The View. And listen to what Bill Maher had to say about the women of The View.
I like everybody, but like, I don't know if they're really, at this moment, the best advertisement for women. I just,
it's a format, that show.
They say some things that are just, like, not helpful, like, say, to elections.
Anyway, John, now you heard the Stephen A. Smith audio, and he's like, well, how come, you know, no black people are supporting Pete Buttigieg for president? And he's like, he just doesn't move us. Mm. And then now you've got Bill Maher saying, they're just not the best representation of women. You know, it's like all of a sudden Bill Maher's like this southern gentleman trying to be oh so polite and oh so gentlemanlike as he talks about how unladylike they are.
Well, see, the funny thing about that is you can't, Bill Maher's a far left Democrat. But you can't deny that he's not intelligent. I mean, the dude is smart, is educated and all of that. Whereas you look, he looks, I guarantee you, in his private moments with his friends, they see any piece of the view and they are just laughing because every member of that panel are stupid, ignorant, hateful, racist. And they get that chance on a national platform to speak. Spew all of that out there onto the national airwaves as basically as Democrat, as representatives of the Democrat Party. And man, it's a nasty scene.
Oh man, remind me, I got to play the soundbite of Vice President J.D. Vance. You know Stephen Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Stephen Miller, who's, of course, just the incredible policy advisor to President Trump, he's been, you know, the key policy advisor on border security. His wife, Katie Miller, actually has some Montana connections. She used to be a press secretary for Senator Steve Daines. And so, yeah, I've known Katie for a number of years now. But she just launched her own podcast, and she actually sat down with Vice President J.D. Vance. And you were talking about Kamala Harris and just how vindictive and mean she was, even to her own staff. Wait till you hear what Vice President J.D. Vance had to say about the transition in power from one VP family to another. So remind me to play that before I forget. But let's go to Rick in Billings first up on the phone lines. Rick, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
How you doing, Aaron? Been a long time.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Getting old. Yep. Well, anyway, I was going to say, I got two things to say now. You know, about The View, you guys just talked about. I mean, we all know those people are just paid actors, okay? I mean, they probably don't even believe half the shit that comes out of their mouth.
Oh, careful with the language.
Say it.
Careful with the language. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, we got it on the red button there. Yeah, we got to be careful with what. Yeah, you know, okay. This isn't The View, so yeah, but anyway, your thoughts. Right. Your thoughts on The View again?
They don't. You know what? They don't even give a poop about what they're saying. They're just getting paid to say it. Okay. I doubt many of them even believe all the garbage that they're spewing out of their mouth. They're just getting paid to say it. Now, on the other hand, what I want to call about is that law and order. Okay, in D.C. Now, what person in their right mind, okay, wouldn't want law and order? You know, who wouldn't want criminals and rapists and murders off the street? You know, I mean, what does that say about our elected politicians when they fight against keeping American citizens safe, children safe? You know, they that Lincoln Riley and all the rapists, murderers, they kill these children, they rape them. And what does that say about these people that defend them? I mean, what's happened to our country? What's happened to the people that got elected to their sole purpose of their job is to keep America safe?
Yeah. They care about keeping themselves safe. They care about keeping themselves safe. They care about keeping power for themselves. Yeah, no, Rick, thanks for the call. Yeah, John, this is Jesse Waters has made this point a couple of times now in such a great way. So when everybody was freaking out on the left about Stephen Colbert getting canceled by, what is it, CBS, because he's losing $40 million a year. And he's like, wow, they show up and hold this, like, funeral service, you know, memorial for Stephen Colbert when he loses his job. But when they were firing Keystone Pipeline workers, they didn't care, learned to code. And then there was another example here recently. Oh, yeah, and then the Texas redistricting, to Rick's point. Like, oh, now that they're afraid of losing their jobs, they go into, you know, all-out campaign mode, and they flee to these states to try to block it from happening, but they won't lift a finger for you and your job.
Well, 2 points on what the caller said. He was talking about it. He didn't think that The View people maybe actually believe what they're saying. They do. And that was shown by a visit by Judge Jeanine here a couple of years ago to their show. They went to break, and they chased that woman back into the dressing room. This is Judge Jeanine telling this story. screaming insults at her back, you know, in the dressing room, and threatened to have a physical fight with her and ejected her from the building. These people are for real. They believe that stuff they're saying.
Yeah, some of them, you can definitely tell that. Like, yeah, with the Joe Scarboroughs of the world, you wonder if he's just a sellout, just cashing a check, right? Jasmine Crockett, I mean, she's playing a role that's getting her attention and money and things like that. But yeah, I some of these nuts on The View, they are diehard believers. They are 60s washouts who just believe a lot of this anti-America stuff that they grew up with, basically. All right, more callers on the phone lines. We'll get to Lee in Kalispell, Chris in Belgrade, plus we've got phone lines open for you.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
John, I'm like Magilla Gorilla again. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You remember the cartoon Magilla the Gorilla. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about the fires in Canada and the arsonist to blame for that one. Why we're all chewing all this Canadian wildfire smoke all year long these days. But we got to get to the callers because that's what makes the show. First up, let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's on your mind?
Hey, yes, this deals with Louisiana and their teachers deciding for the parents whether or not the kids are going to get given pills or not for calm them down, so to speak. Anyway, this happened about 30 years ago or 35 years ago here in Montana, in Kalispell, where somebody I know, his kid was acting like a little kid, and he would be given pills all the time when I was over at his place, and you hear him all the time saying about taking pills. Anyway, I heard about 15 years ago when I saw the father that his kid is now in a mental institution.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I saw a story earlier. John, I don't know if you saw this. I think I heard it on Fox and Friends. I haven't seen the actual story here, but apparently, and maybe I think this is what Lee is referring to here, apparently in some of these left-wing run school districts, they're actually trying to force medicate kids for, say, ADHD or something like that, going around the parents in order to do so. Because I heard Lawrence Jones talking about, hey, look, little boys are going to do what little boys do. They're not good at sitting in seats for 8 hours a day. So they're going to get a little restless. Well, you know, what if they say, well, you know what? We think your kid has ADD, so we're going to give them these medications now without the parents' wishes, going around the parents. I mean, they've been doing it with this transgender stuff and transitioning kids without the parents' knowledge.
I don't see how in the world you could ever do that legally. Because, first of all, these are minors, okay? And you cannot be given that. You know what it's like in high schools? They don't want you to give a kid an Advil or an aspirin because they don't know what your objections to it would be, what other medications they were on. How in the world could you give a kid, like Ritalin, right? Ritalin is one of the drugs for ADHD. How in the world could a school be administering that to a kid without parental consent, or even if the parents had their consent? You can't have the school giving away medicine like that to a minor. It's illegal.
Yeah, yeah. But we see how consistently these left-run school districts want to make an end run around parents' rights. That's why these parents' rights conversation that we've been having in the Montana legislature are so critical. And by the way, parents' rights are also in the U.S. Constitution. And so when they trample on parents' rights in Montana, there is a U.S. constitutional basis to challenge the trampling on those rights. Okay, next up, let's go to Chris in Belgrade. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. Hey, John. I hear you keep talking about Pete Buttigieg. And I'm not sure if people are aware of who he actually is. So his father is Joseph Buttigieg, and he is the founder of the International Antonio Gramsci Society. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian communist who figured out he couldn't start a religious war,
or a class war in Italy, so he started culture wars. So I encourage people to research Antonio Gramsci and find out who that guy was and how Pete Buttigieg was actually raised.
That's very interesting. Yeah, because so often you see that these woke white leftists, or not even just white leftists, but they come from these wealthy backgrounds and they have these crazy communist, socialist, you know, influences in their life early on. And yeah, you know, it's so easy to just sit back and assume that the only reason Pete Buttigieg is where he is because, well, he was some small town mayor of Indiana. He couldn't fill a pothole, but because he checks a couple of woke check boxes, they made him a darling in the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. It's like Ronald Reagan said, you know, socialism or communism will come through the Democratic Party. He said this in the 80s. And if you've noticed, if you see how they always infiltrate seats of power, right? It's school boards, local, state, federal bureaucracy. And when you start looking really into who Antonio Gramsci was and what kind of person he was, then you'll understand who Pete Buttigieg is.
That's very interesting. So, yeah, thanks for the call. Chris and Belgrade, thanks for the call. So I just asked, you know, for quick reference, I asked Grok a little bit about Pete Buttigieg's background and his dad in particular. And, yeah, basically, you know, and it has the links to the sources basically saying what Chris just said right there. Apparently in Pete Buttigieg's memoirs, he mentioned that his dad's left-leaning views and intellectual discussions shaped his early interest in politics. So that's pretty interesting, especially in light of, because some people might be saying, who cares about Pete Buttigieg? The guy was a train wreck. The guy, well, speaking of train wrecks, all sorts of wrecks while he was Secretary of Transportation. But to that reference that we made earlier about Pete Buttigieg, he is the leading Democrat candidate for 2028. Now, he's only got 16% of the vote, but nonetheless, he is the leading Democrat candidate.
Well, you guys, we were saying at the break here, me and you, that Rush Limbaugh raised the red flag on Booty Fudge there years ago. I mean, but when he was still the mayor there in Indiana, because he saw who he was. And if you've ever watched him in any kind of interviews, that guy is a sociopath. I mean, he's that one in a million type of people that could pass a polygraph and be lying about it. And that's what makes him so incredibly dangerous. He's so glib, articulate, and a sociopath liar.
All right. So before I forget, I need to play the Vice President Vance Kamala Harris clip that I told you about earlier. But first, since our caller just referenced Pete Buttigieg, yeah, Bill Maher was laughing about the fact that Pete Buttigieg is polling as the top candidate for the Democrats for president in 2028. And he had, you know, the ESPN sportscaster Stephen A. Smith on with him. And Bill Maher pointed out that Pete Buttigieg gets 0% support from black voters. And apparently nobody was surprised by that. Not Stephen A. Smith, not Bill Maher, not even Bill Maher's left-leaning audience. They were, yeah, as you'll hear in this audio clip here, let me get it rolling for you. All right, here we go.
Why do black voters have this? I mean, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's under-indexing a little bit with the black voters, yeah.
A little? What is that all about?
He doesn't move us. I respect the man. I've interviewed him before. Very nice man, highly intelligent. But you got to be able to move us, bro. He don't move us. You can speculate as to why that is. I'm not going there. He doesn't move us.
So anyway, that's the clip that John and I were dying about laughing earlier. He doesn't move us. All right. So, John, when I played the Jazzy Crockett, the latest from Jazzy Crockett, comparing herself to Beyonce, Jazzy Crockett, let's see. So you then brought up Kamala Harris, you know. So the reports are that, you know, Jazzy Crockett is just horrible to her staff. She's horrible to work with. She feels entitled. She thinks she's a celebrity and should get celebrity treatment. get treated like royalty. And then you made the point how Kamala Harris is the same way. Well, Katie Miller, the wife of the great Stephen Miller, she used to be a press secretary for Senator Steve Daines from Montana, so I've gotten to work with her a number of times over the years. And she launched her own new podcast, her Katie Miller podcast, and got to sit down with Vice President J.D. Vance. And, you know, typically when a president and vice president, when they leave power and the new president and vice president come in, typically there's a good handover, right? There's a respect for the office. There's a respectful handover, all the above, right? Not so much with Kamala Harris, apparently.
No, I've never seen it before. And there was a bit of a controversy. I don't remember exactly what had happened, but I think that normally it's customary for the outgoing vice president to show the incoming vice president's family the house. Mm-hmm. And we have three little kids, so I guess at the time our kids were like 7, 5, and, you know, 2. I guess Mirabelle turned 3 right before the inauguration. And so, you know, now they're a little bit older, but you know, they had never seen this house, and Usha really wanted to show them. So what we actually proposed is, recognizing the weirdness of the politics, can Usha take the kids over and just show them where they're going to be living for the next 4 yeah. years? And they were rebuffed. So we took some, like, old diagrams and some old photos and tried to show the kids. Actually, a friend of ours in Cincinnati had a book about the vice president's residence, and so we would show the kids what it would look like, but that's as close as they ever got to it. But it's a really beautiful house. So
anyway, so, yeah, here he is saying how, like, and you think about it, you've seen the photos of Usha and J.D. Vance's little kids, beautiful family, cool little kids, right? And like, it's one thing if you don't like J.D. Vance because they beat you in the election, but you're going to be a jerk to the little kids. And then you look at Kamala's kid, and she's this angry, bitter, probably non-binary, whatever identifying, you know, radical left-winger.
Wait, the Clintons started all of this. Up until they left office in the year 2000, that's what it always was, you know, yeah, elections are always dirty, campaigns are always dirty, but then if it's all over, dust settles, you shake hands, and we're going to be polite and cordial to each other. The Clintons started that not only with sabotaging the whole lay of the land as George W. Bush came into office, but then also not doing that polite turnover, stealing crap right out of the White House. And then you saw Barack, obviously, everybody knows what Obama did to Trump coming in, actually put the CIA and the FBI on him. I mean, the Clintons started all this back in 2000.
Yeah, and we've seen the erosion of that civility ever since. All right, we got some great callers on the phone lines, but we got to take a break, so we'll do a lightning round so we can get to all the callers as soon as possible right after this. We do have a line open for you if you want to get in the queue, 406-294-0970. And I need to go check the app messages here because there's a couple that I need to read on the air as well.
This is where Montana Talks App with Lane Nordland.
Several ag programs left out of the reconciliation bill will expire soon, setting up a fall fight over a smaller, skinny farm bill, as many are calling it. Republicans will likely need Democratic support, but deep snap cuts could make passage difficult. Senate Ag Ranking Member Senator Amy Klobuchar says there's still hope. In the House, Ag Chair G.T. Thompson aims to release draft text in September, depending on August staff work, while Ranking Member Angie Craig says talks are still in the early stages. Ranchers, will you help 11-year-old cowboy Grant Heaton find a cure for Duchenne muscular dystrophy? DMD is a rare genetic disease in juvenile boys that destroys all muscle. Grant's dad, Paul Heaton.
There's no cure, really anything we can do to stop it. So the only other way we could fight was for a cure.
Consign all or a portion of your cattle sales to the Calves Cure DMD All-Class Cattle Auction on September 18th at Billings Livestock Commission. Consigners will be entered to win a 6.5 Creedmoor. It's the Calves Cure DMD sale, September 18th at BLS. The National FFA organization hit a new milestone with over 1,042,245 members as of this year. That's up 1.5% with over 9,400 chapters nationwide. Here in Montana, there's over 6,684 members with 109 chapters across the Big Sky State. I'm Lane Northland.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. Let's jump right into the phone lines. Marilyn in Lolo, listening to KMPT. Marilyn, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. So back in the 80s and 90s, we were trying to get the word out back then to parents that the teachers, the counselors were working with Planned Parenthood to take girls out of the classrooms to get abortions without the parents knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing it to this day, and nobody seems to be getting worked up about that. The word, you know, it's hard to get that message out, but I just wanted to get that message out.
Good point. And yeah, the same radical leftists that now want to chop body parts off of kids and they want to transition your kids or socially transition them without the parents' even knowledge of it. And we've heard of examples in the Missoula area where that's happened.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I don't know why there hasn't been a mass exodus out of the public schools many years ago, but it's starting to happen now. But for a lot of people, a lot of kids, it's too little, too late.
Yeah. Hey, Marilyn, before you run, the other thing, I think you called in, was it last week, and it was at the very end of the show, so we were short on time, but you mentioned the PROTECT Act and concerns that I shared that you raised as well. I was looking because I'll be one of the keynote speakers at the Lake County Lincoln Reagan dinner coming up in September. And so I was on their website and I read the update from Linda Sauer. Kind of as I said last week, I said, I'm hearing that support for the PROTECT Act will now be dropped. And I did see that Linda Sauer shared that update that the PROTECT Act has lost support, that Congressman Zinke is removing his name from that legislation.
Okay, well, that's good news. Has Steve Daines removed his name from it?
I haven't heard yet on that one. I'd have to go see if Linda included that news in her latest update as well. So, yeah, but I did see that Congressman Zinke is no longer supporting that PROTECT Act. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's still keep an eye on it because, yeah, don't give up. Okay, thank you.
Hey, no, thank you. Thanks, Marilyn. All right, 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, what's going on?
What's going on, Aaron? John, I'm on the road, so if you can't hear me very well, sorry about that. I just wanted
Sound
to
great.
Call real quick and thank you to our veterans. I wanted to let everybody know real quick, if you want to meet me, if you want to get involved in the Rhino Removal Project, I will be in Great Falls on Thursday at noon at the Pachyderm meeting at the Gold Dust Casino. Noon it is. So I know this is a lightning round. I'll let it go there. But you know I do what I do, Aaron, for parental rights. It is a huge, huge issue, and it's happening all of the time in Montana, the disregard of parental rights. So that's what activated me. That's why I do what I do. And if you want to come meet me, there's a raffle, all of it. Get some swag. Come meet me in Great Falls Thursday at noon. Hey. You guys have a blessed day.
Hey, you too. Safe travels. Yeah, well, man, I'll bet you there's going to be a turnout at that Pachyderm Club in Great Falls on Thursday now because, you know, well, first off, our listeners, they love meeting the other listeners and people that call into the show because it's kind of like, hey, I know you, but I've never met you before, right? So I'm sure there's a bunch of people in Great Falls that are like, man, I'm going to go to the Pachyderm Club just to meet the Cat from eastern Montana because especially during the Senate race last year, I mean, she was on fire on social media. So I actually got to meet her, I think for maybe the one and only time, unless I ran into her one other time. We were doing those Americans for Prosperity Montana events, and we did a great event in Miles City, and she made the trip down to help out for that event. So, yeah, so anyway, thanks for calling in. That's great. Let's see. Let's go next. We've got Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's going on? Oh, wrong line. Hold on. All right, Chris, go ahead. There we go. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what's going on is this. This has been going on for a long time. 1964, I was taught by a book. And in that book, it shows here's just three short points. They want to do away with law enforcement. So I don't think the left wing is a credible party in this country. They want to do away with law enforcement. That means they want to take care of the police. all violence is lawful, even murder is justified in their eyes. This is in a book now, back in the 60s. And one more, do what they want to do away with capitalism. Capitalism is a sickness. If you get rid of capitalism, then they want to take care of you, and they want to take care of you like a diseased animal. They want to kill you. Now, this stuff was in print in a book back then. So nothing has changed. It just...
And now it's in real life. And now it's...
People need to constantly look at what these people are saying.
And now it's the leading candidate for mayor in New York City. Chris, thanks for the call. John, he was talking about law enforcement and, yeah, good point about how they want to do away with local law enforcement, right? We saw this on steroids in 2020. The very same people that wanted to defund the police wanted their FBI going after peaceful pro-life protesters and spying on Catholics and you name it. But speaking of law enforcement, I mentioned this to you off-air earlier. There was a big drug bust outside of Sturgis over in South Dakota right on I-90, actually. So I know John hadn't heard of this story yet, so maybe some of you hadn't heard this news either.
Governor Larry Roden announced the arrest of a 42-year-old undocumented immigrant during a routine traffic stop on I-90 near Sturgis. That's when law enforcement uncovered $12 million worth of methamphetamine. Authorities uncovered 207 pounds of crystal meth, about the weight of a black bear. The bust was part of Operation Prairie Thunder, a state-led initiative supporting federal immigration enforcement. The suspect now in immigration proceedings. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
Yeah, so an illegal alien with how many pounds of meth? Well, he said about the size of the weight of a black bear. That puts it in perspective, I guess.
Well, when you told me this off air, you said, you know, big drug bust in Dakota. And I'm like, okay, that's on the highway, right? You yeah. say, yeah.
Yep. I-90, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's put this together now, Aaron. You know, this is just so odd that you would have an illegal alien transporting large amounts of dangerous drugs across state lines. I mean, is that unusual? That might be a little unusual, right? Is that a common thing? I hadn't heard.
Nobody is surprised by this news at all. Nobody is surprised whatsoever. Yeah. Speaking of drugs, you know, we've talked a lot about the drug cartels operating here in Montana, especially targeting our Indian reservations. Well, President Trump is now authorizing basically or directing the Pentagon to use military force against the drug cartels that he previously designated as foreign terror organizations. I don't know if you guys know who Jim Hansen is. He's a special forces veteran, used to have the Black Five blog. Great guy. I got to meet him down in San Antonio at a Soldiers Angels event several years ago. But he was on Fox News. I don't know if he was on with Will Cain or who he was on with, but they asked him about, hey, what would something like this do?
Former U.S. Army Special Forces and President of WorldStrat, Jim Hansen. Jim, what kind of operations do you envision happening in Central and South America in this cartel war?
Jesse, I don't think anybody would be more thrilled than me to watch some helmet cam footage of a bunch of JSOC pipe hitters rappelling out of helicopters and stacking cartel members like cordwood. Now, that's the ultimate. I don't know that we'll probably open with that. You know, there's likely to be a lot of increased surveillance. There may be some raids to pick up some people to arrest and put on trial. There'll be some interdiction off the coasts. The Navy can cover a lot more territory than the Coast Guard can. And together, they can cover both the exfil from, you know, Central and South America and the infill to us. So there's a lot of things to start with, but this is a tremendous step they're taking.
All right. So they could seize some guys off the field and bring them here and put them on trial. Could they also just drone strike these cartel bad guys right in their backyard?
You know, that's a lawyer question, but I'm going to give you the common sense answer. If their cartels are killing people in the United States and the MS-13 and Trendaragua gangs are, why can't we kill their leaders just the same way President Trump pointed out we took care of Soleimani?
All right. Yeah, John, your thoughts on what the great Jim Hansen had to say there?
Oh, 100%. That needs to happen. It needs to happen to probably half a dozen of them to get them in line. What you have to be always be cognizant of is you know, the Black Hawk Down effect. You try to go into enemy-held territory and say one of these barrios there in some city in Mexico, you have that effect that you have to deal with. And, boy, that could turn into an Adam Schiff show real bad.
Right? And of course, operators like the guys he mentioned would know exactly, you know, how to mitigate that or, you know, understand before going in. But, you know, we can talk about it here from our perch. Now, John's worked in, in the counter drug environment down in that neck of the woods. But I wonder what somebody would say if we threw that same question to a grandmother who lost her son and is now raising her grandkids because of what the drug cartels did to her on, say, the Fort Peck Reservation.
Lindsey Vaughn. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, thankfully John just mentioned ice during the commercial break there, because I've got a couple of messages now that have come in. Juno, I think in the Gallatin Valley earlier this morning, sent me a message on the Montana Talks app that says this: there's word spreading that ICE had about 20 in cuffs this morning at the apartments on Nevada Street in Belgrade. Now, let me say again, that is a tip. That is a message that we received. So I can't verify that information. You guys, you just want to be clear. But what I did is I took that message and I forwarded it to the regional spokeswoman for ICE, who's been very responsive whenever I've had questions or RFIs or requests for information before. So I have sent that on to ICE to see if there's any details or information they can share with us. So Juno, thanks for that message. And then we just got an email actually that just came in from Douglas, likely from the Gallatin Valley as well, saying ICE raid in Belgrade 5 a.m. this morning. So, this is one of those, I sure hope it's true, John, because we know they're there. We know they're there in general in Gallatin Valley. I don't know about that particular street, et cetera, but yeah.
They heard that story about the casino that you told me.
that was the tip that they got those guys.
What I told you at the break was just breaking here 30 minutes ago from Eric Daugherty. ICE is now saying they have over 100,000 applications to join the agency.
Wow.
Patriotic Americans.
Who's that guy? Is it Dean Cain, the guy who played Superman?
Yeah.
Even he is joining ICE now.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. That's great. Well, and then I told John, I just got a breaking news alert from Fox News. This one's really interesting. Let's see here. Female military recruits surge across all service branches. Remember in his confirmation hearings, all these woman Democrat senators were saying how anti-woman Pete Hegseth was and anti-women in the military Pete Hegseth was. And look at that. Huh. Look at that. Look at that. Women are surging across all service branches. Huh. It's almost as if, John, that women didn't really want to serve under the Joe Biden, John Tester military, where they were told men are going to shower with you and you better not complain or you will be punished.
But these people forever and ever do not listen to us. They are serial liars when it comes to any kind of support of women. What have they done for the last 10 years is try to get men into women's sports, men into women's bathrooms, men into women's positions. I mean, forget about it. Anybody who's paying attention to this at all knows they are anti-women.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm thinking if the Democrats need a new white hope, such as Pete Buttigieg, what he needs is to be the next joy boy for the presidents, he's going to need some choreography from Justin Bieber. he has to have some ripped jeans on stage and show some rugged individuality that way, you know.
So maybe that'll get get the woke Pete Buttigieg over the top. I'll get some, you know, Justin Bieber was just in Great Falls at the Roadhouse Diner. Yeah, maybe the Biebs will give the Buttigieg some dance moves. I don't know, the old tinsel toes tap dancing moves by Tampon Tim Walz didn't work out too well in the last election.
Oh, jazz hands there. Yeah. You know what? You are talking about the break. You know, the Pete Buttigieg there. Remember, you know, that was his big thing. He was a veteran. He was every picture I ever saw him, he was like on his bunk, you know, in his hooch there. And you see he's wearing his gear that doesn't have a single scuff or a speck of dust on it. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay. Thanks for serving, but did you ever leave the fob?
No.
Did you ever leave the Green Beans coffee joint? You know, but. Oh, you got selfies.
Joystick Ranger, you know, Green Zone Joystick Ranger, you know, those type of guys.
Thanks for your service. Thanks to all who've served. But, yeah, he just doesn't move us. He just doesn't move. Oh, we got to get to this one. Here I go with the Megilla Gorilla thing again. John, we got to get to this one. You actually sent this to me on X a couple of days ago. So the CBC up in Canada had this story. A Saskatchewan volunteer firefighter who set 30 fires in a month, sentenced for arson. This guy was sentenced to 18 months of probation and 200 hours of community service. But no, John, we're going to blame climate change for all the Canadian wildfire smoke that we see down here from May till September every year that we got to chew on every year.
Well, that's what I said that to you because, you know, we always want to know if particularly the things we're theorizing about, when we see evidence about it, you like to show it. So I said that to you because we said that on your show last week. You know, what's going on with these fires? And I said they're arson. They're being set intentionally. And what was that the next day that story came out, 2 days later?
Yeah, and it reminds me, you know, just south of Saskatchewan, Canada, is Scobie, Montana. And John Brennan in Scobie, you know, he actually recorded a song for us, the Blame Climate Change song. we were trying to do, like, the South Park spoof, Blame Canada, you know, Blame Climate Change. But he made it it was more operatic. It was much more beautiful the way he did it than I would have done it.
It was a couple of years ago here. We were really getting hit bad with that. My daughter goes out for a run one night and calls me. I got to go pick her up. Dude, she sounded like she smoked two packs of cigarettes. You know, with there's that Canadian wildfire smoke everywhere. I'd have to bring her in the house and get her some of that pure oxygen to stop her from coughing.
She was probably hanging out with, you know, Grandpa Lou's grandkids or something. You know, those troublemakers. No, Grandpa Lou's got a great grandkid. He's a good deer hunter. I was trying to think of who could I have some fun with here. Why not Grandpa Lou, right? Good to see you, John.